Good evening to you, too, and it is a little chilly here in Atlanta, Georgia, but the action is going to be hot on the field next Sunday, that is for sure.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
Hey, fascinating story.
Tom Brady is old.
Right, that's also a fascinating story.
Right.
Fascinating story about this. I think, Jensen, you brought us a story about the family heirloom that is being passed down.
Yeah.
And for folks who don't know what an heirloom is, it's something that's in your family that is it's given from father to son and to daughter and then passed on through the generations.
Absolutely.
And what do you think the most common family heirloom is that is passed down?
I would think a ring.
Mm-hmm. Jewelry, according to this list, is number two. Engagement rings are the most common jewelry that is passed down. Yeah, you hear a lot of times about people who
propose. Number one has nothing to do with jewelry.
That's right.
Okay. Maybe property, a house.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, I think that's kind of assumed. You know, I mean, by the law, you leave everything to people behind.
It's got
to
be more of like a tchotchke.
It's the family Bible.
Oh.
The most common and precious heirloom passed down between generations. Now, who knows? Maybe this list is from a religious organization, but they have the family Bible at number one, then jewelry, then clocks and pocket watches. So what century?
Come on.
Then recipe books. Okay, never mind. Forget this list.
Are they giving out the monocle?
Forget this
list. And their calligraphy pen?
But things like quilts, china, silverware, photographs, letters, diaries. There's lots of things on the list, but I think that's not what we're looking for here, right?
No.
Not looking for stuff like that. What's the story that kicked this whole conversation off?
Well, there's a 48-year-old named Ansley Peters in Kirkcaldy, Scotland, who recently opened up about an heirloom that's been going through the generations of her family, and it's an unopened Cadbury egg.
Generations.
Yes. Yeah.
Unopened Cadbury egg.
Still in its wrapping, and she has it in her curio cabinet. It was passed down since 1973.
Why even the first time?
Well,
Cadbury egg.
It has family significance.
Why didn't your grandma just eat it after she bought it?
That's what I was thinking. It was a gift given to her grandma on a first date from a man who would later become her husband. And instead of eating it, she decided that she would put it into a glass case.
Okay.
And when she passed away in 2010, this woman, Ansley, it was the first thing she asked for when they were going through her belongings.
Interesting.
Aww.
So she asked for it. It wasn't like a weird thing that she got given. She's like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Your sister gets $50,000 and you get a Cadbury egg.
Does she just love chocolate? I mean, is that what it is?
Actually ironic because when they asked her about it, she said, it's just me being a bit of a dafty. I don't even like cream eggs.
What's a dafty?
I don't know. Okay. Scottish.
Like
Scottish
daft,
for dumbass.
Dumb.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Dumb. Okay.
Okay, so in other words, she looks at that and she goes, oh, that's a sweet reminder of the first date my grandparents went on.
I guess.
I get that. I mean, that's nice.
I mean, the other thing, too, is like, there's pictures of it on the internet, and it's still very vibrant, like in colors and stuff, but like all the colors have changed into different ones.
Oh.
So like if you compare it to a new Cadbury egg, it's like the green has turned red and red has turned purple.
Yeah.
I'm almost scared to smell it.
Yeah, that seems bad. Keep it in the box.
Chip, I need that. Please make a mark. I'm going to need that.
Take from Jason. Dang it.
I was thinking about this yesterday, and I have a friend who I can't believe that I forgot this. I had a friend who got the ashes of the family dog.
Mm-hmm. Passed down?
Yes, from her parents. And she's like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Was it a dog she even interacted with?
I don't remember whether she did or not.
Because that was the family dog.
Yeah,
maybe?
That wouldn't be as bad. But if it's like, oh, this was my grandparents' dog. Never met my grandparents or their dog. They all died in a fire. But I do have the ashes.
I wonder many people get gifts like that and then just throw them out. Just quietly get rid of them. You know?
Well, I want to talk about the dog thing for a second. But we are going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call us via voice or text if you can't get to the phone to call us. We want to hear about unusual things that are passed down in your family, something you have or somebody in your family has that's passed down that's not the family Bible or an engagement ring. All right?
The weirder the better.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have the ashes of six of my dogs. I have the ashes of six of my dogs. What should be done with those? When my wife and I
are
both
they're born. All in different urns, right? You don't, like, mix them all up?
Yes.
He's making one complete ash dog.
I'd like my salad tossed, please.
I'm going to need that.
So is that luck. Just the type of thing that when I'm gone and when my wife is gone, it doesn't mean anything to anybody else?
Well, I would
just go in the dumpster?
I would think so. That's why I feel like that's an odd thing to give a kid.
Yeah.
And you don't have children, so I would assume it would mean nothing to anyone else.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think I agree with you on that.
I just imagine, are you buried with all these urns just lining your casket?
33 of them.
I do have a lot of them. That's true. I also have some hair from one of my cows that passed away. I did save some hair.
All right. What?
But again, I don't think I'll be passing that down to anybody else.
Why do you have the hair of a cow?
Just because she was. I loved her so much, and
she had amazing hair.
She had fit. Gee, her hair smelled terrific.
In case I have a spell.
What the hell? Just a memento. That's all. But we're getting off topic here.
No, we're not. This is awesome.
When I recently moved, we went through all my stuff, and Danielle was like, "What is this bag of quarters?"
Bag of quarters.
Yeah, I was like, "Oh, those are my dad's quarters." I kept my dad had like a little cup of quarters, like probably like $15 worth.
Oh, it wasn't a collection?
No, it was just a bag. It was just errant change,
just like $5.
Yeah, and I haven't spent it or anything. And I always feel weird because like, what am I going to buy? I can't just be like, oh, I got a meal with it. I feel like I have to buy something of significance.
But you can't get anything of significance for that amount of money.
Yeah, that's why I still have the quarters. Yeah. He died 10 years ago.
I bet there are people who have terrible art that is passed down just because of the significance of that was on my parents' wall the whole time I was growing up. I want to have that as a remembrance of them.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Because I have lots of terrible art also. So I don't know what's going to happen to that when I'm gone. So 1-800-520-1067. We're talking about family heirlooms that are a little out of the ordinary. They get passed down generation to generation. Let's take one call real quick before the break, and let's make it Scott. He is in Burbank on line one to get us started.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, so it's actually my best friend's family that's passing this down, but they would be passing down skin from their...
I'm sorry, the phone must have broken up. I thought you said skin.
No, I said skin, yes. They would pass down their grandfather's skin.
Wait, hold on a second. Let me make sure I understand here. A subscription to Spin magazine? Is that what you said?
That would be nicer.
Why? Why?
Why did they skin grandpa?
I don't know. His aunt gave it to him, and he just like, you know, that's just... And everyone they pass down.
But you have to feel like you can't just throw it out because it meant something to someone.
Well, did it? I mean, the other thing, too, is it like a cuticle or is it like a full graph of skin?
It's
the outline of his body.
It's like dry skin and like nail clippings. And
No, Scott, we all know it's you. It's not your friends.
I was thinking that they like cut off a tattoo or something like that and put it in a frame or
something
like that.
No. I was going foreskin, and that didn't bother me as much as thinking nail shavings.
You don't fingernail clippings.
What about like even your belly button when that falls off? A lot of people keep that in a little baggie.
The umbilical cord?
Yes. Not your belly button.
That's gross.
He's drawing the line. Judgy McChugster,
Scott
about your
says
friend.
That's gross.
All right, Scott, you're a weirdo. Thank you for calling. 1-800-520-1067. Your heirloom calls next on K-Rock.
And just ahead of Lincoln Park, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Charlene from Huntington Beach. Good morning, Charlene.
Good morning.
Talking about the family in Scotland, that passes down a Cadbury cream egg, and it got us on the topic of weird family heirlooms. What's been passed down in your family?
In my family, what was important for us was that we had this outhouse musical box that was passed down. The story behind it.
It was a music box?
So it's like a normal music box, except it's an outhouse is kind of like a joke of it.
In a way, yes, but it was because that's how my grandparents met.
In an outhouse?
That's so romantic, meeting in an outhouse.
My grandmother.
How did they meet in an outhouse? I have to know.
They basically ran into each other, and he was trying to get into it, and then he ended up doing it the wrong way, and then, you know, from there, the story.
Okay, it sounds like you're describing a very awkward first sexual encounter.
Charlene.
Well, it wasn't that, but yeah.
Jensen wants me to ask if it was a glory hole.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, okay. Again, Jensen. That, okay,
it's best if you don't know anyway, Charlene. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Top glory hole. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
This is a weird topic, and we started right at the top, didn't we?
It really is weird. And Allie, I don't know how your brain works, but don't ask ladies that question.
It was their grandparents. No. Jensen wanted me to ask.
You tried to blame it on Jensen, but we all know.
Kevin asked me to ask.
From the 951, my mother was passed down something from her mother, her dentures in a jar.
Oh, no, 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 no. No.
And they still had food in them.
Oh, no!
What's wrong? And it gets worse. She also has her gallbladder, her mother's gallbladder, in a Gerber baby food jar. Not sure where that stuff is going when my mother passes, but definitely not to me.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's something. Oof.
Would you ever want a gallbladder from a relative in a jar?
Nope. I don't want any body part.
Mm. Okay.
All right, fair enough. 1-800-520-1067.
Or skin.
Let's go to Rihanna in Riverside, line 4, 1-800-520-1067. Caleb, you hang on. Matt, we'll get to as many calls as we can, but let's see what's going on here.
Hey, Rihanna.
Hey, what's up?
Talking about weird family heirlooms. Do you have one?
So I guess it kind of has a backstory, but my dad and his little brother were playing out in the woods, and they found a stick, and they thought it looked like a cannon, and so they were shooting each other with it. And then my grandmother ran up and said, "Give me that," because it looked so much like a penis and the balls and everything, you know. And
okay,
we're familiar with that.
Yeah, I just had to be descriptive because it's not just a stick, you know. It's like, right. I mean, it looks really.
We got you.
Yeah.
Okay. We're on the same page with you.
It's the full set. We got it.
So, how
my grandma said, "Give me that," and she thought it was really foul, but then she also lacquered it and decided to send it to all the new brides in the family.
What is happening
so
in your family?
Whoever, huh?
Now, what's happening in your family?
Well, so, that's the thing. Now it's kind of like it disappeared with one of the brides. So I kind of wondered, like, if she if she liked it a lot, or I don't know. Like
I know what we're all thinking. Okay, all right.
Yeah, we do know.
Yes.
I'm not clear.
Thank you, Rihanna. We appreciate you calling. Let's go to Palmdale Line 5. This is going to be our man Caleb. Kevin, you were saying no to body parts?
No, I don't need any body parts.
Well, then meet Caleb.
Good morning, Caleb.
Yeah, that grandma's dentures, that kind of shook me up right there.
Right?
Yeah, that was rough.
What's yours?
Okay, so, I mean, I personally think mine is worse. We have my grandpa's frostbitten foot.
His entire foot?
What? From when he tried to scale Mount Everest. And I don't think, I never met him. I don't think he was that smart of a man. Because according to the story, he never made it to Everest. He got his foot chopped off in China.
What?
And you never actually made it to the mountain.
Your grandfather is super shady.
Wait a second. If he made it all the way to China, then it's not like he died up there or had frostbite and had to have his leg amputated, because he would have done that when he got back down in Nepal, right? He wouldn't have gone to China for that. It sounds like it's a separate incident.
Sounds like he had some issues.
That's just who he contacted. Now, there's another one I got for y'all. We have my great uncle's shoe. Now, I don't know if you guys have notes on the line, but can y'all guess what happened?
No.
Why we have that shoe?
Oh, to put the foot in.
No.
That's a great guess.
Okay. My great uncle's shoe.
It's just one shoe.
That was all we found of him in a pig pen after the pigs ate him.
Caleb. Caleb, are your parents related?
What's
this happening?
Is crazy. Hey, Jensen, watch it now.
It's not our family.
This is the best. I just optioned your family story for a television show.
Coming up next hour, we have Adam Ray, who's playing April Foolishness. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 for that. Friday at 10. Plus, we have an update on the Kevin and Bean soundbite bracket.
Yeah.
Nice.
We got winners and losers.
Exactly. Right now, let's talk about this dude that got an extra TV. And what would you do? A man in Massachusetts was arrested after keeping a flat-screen TV that was sent to his house by mistake. he ordered a 74-inch TV.
Okay.
They delivered it to his house with an 86-inch TV.
It's like a bonus.
So he ordered one TV and he got two.
That's a great deal.
Here's the news report.
If a brand new TV was delivered to your house by mistake, would you keep it? Freetown man did just that, and now he's facing criminal charges.
Police say they found the TV already mounted inside his home.
By the way, what would they arrest him on? I mean, he did get the TV sent to his house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if then you are alerted that you have property that's not yours by a company.
You mean they contact you and say that was a mistake, give us the TV back?
Then you're a thief.
Yeah.
This case brings up some interesting legal questions. According to the Federal Trade Commission, if you receive merchandise that you didn't order, you can keep it as a free gift.
All right.
Score. No take back.
Score.
Yeah.
I feel like there's more to the news story.
That's fantastic.
Are we going to break?
We'll be right back.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, no, there's more.
Oh, okay.
But then again, it's illegal to obtain goods under false pretense, and that's what police say happened here.
What's the difference?
That seems like legal mumbo jumbo.
Yes, if somebody sends you something in the mail and it's free, you can keep it. It's a gift. But then they go on to say, no, this is under false pretense.
He got picked up on another thing, and maybe they'll explain it.
Okay.
They surrounded the house and knocked on the door with flashlights, coming through all the windows pretty much. They told me come outside. They handcuffed me.
Nick Memo describes what happened at his Freetown home Monday night when he was arrested for larceny and misleading a police officer.
Larceny and misleading a police officer.
I also want to point out that this man lives in a city called Freetown. Basically.
That should play into
that
it.
That should be, it's almost unfair, like incorrect advertising. I think they say he signed under a different name.
Oh, that he used
to. Oh, he signed for the package.
I'm not saying F the police, but I don't believe this situation because I think this could happen to any of us.
Right.
You could open the door and there could be two packages instead of one. They brought it from the truck. But they also are saying he pretended to be the person who also owns the second TV.
Oh, so he signed for both. One as himself and another one as
That's
someone
what
else?
They're alluding, but I don't know. Okay. That sounds
During
wrong.
A search inside, officers found this 86-inch flat screen mounted to the living room wall.
I like that he already mounted it.
Yeah, sure.
That's the one it's he his. Didn't order, the 86-inch.
On the wall,
Memo
take
admits it.
It
was delivered to his home by mistake, and he admits police tried to question him about it several days before his arrest. Did you answer their questions?
Okay, now this is where you sort of get into like mumbo jumbo and not sure we're hearing the whole thing because he's purposely vague.
I answered what I could answer for questions without putting myself in jeopardy. I said, well, do I need to hire an attorney? They said I wasn't under investigation at that point. They were just asking questions. So I answered a lot of questions what I don't know just so I don't jeopardize myself. This is the TV that I purchased.
Memo says he bought and paid for this 74-inch flat screen on Amazon. When a third-party shipping company delivered it, they also gave him a larger model TV by mistake.
I mean, I feel like that was just being really generous. Who's to say what's a mistake and just generous?
Who knows if I bought two for one and didn't even know.
Right?
Sometimes coupons get added to my stuff and I'm like, oh, I didn't even know. Great, 20% off.
Maybe they have a crazy sale going on. Buy one, get one free. How do you know?
Did you ever think that, hey, they made a mistake, I should return this?
I did, and I looked into all the laws and everything that happened. I said, you know.
Okay, right there is where he gets me, though. Once he starts, like, looking into all the laws about this, now he knows that it's illegal and that he can't keep it. And he's just trying to figure out what trouble he could get in.
Sir, we went into your Google history, and you Googled, can I keep a free TV 50 times?
I did, and I looked into all the laws and everything that happened. I said, you know, it's a scratch ticket. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Oh, it's total luck then.
Yeah.
So if they send it to you, it's yours. That's what he's saying.
Ugh.
Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. It's like a lottery.
Yeah.
Amazon said I had nothing to worry about. I made no wrong decisions at that point.
The shipping company tells Boston 25 they made numerous attempts to contact Memo before they went to police.
All right, here's where it gets really shaky for me. They tried to call his house and say, hey, we sent you an extra TV. What about sending that back? And he said...
And the shipping company says Memo signed for the delivery, something he disputes. The drop ship company tells me they tried to contact you 5 times and that you were never cooperative with them.
I have my phone ringing all day long. I run a business. I get calls from Google, website people. I have no reason to answer all these calls. If it's not important, I just hang up.
Now, if you run a business and people are calling your business line, don't you pick up all of those?
The dude's full of crap.
Right?
Period. Yeah.
He's running a business where he gets a lot of calls. He's like, you know what? I miss theirs.
I mean, my father.
Who's got time?
My father is deceased, so I could tell the story now.
Okay.
My dad moved to Las Vegas at some point in my life and purchased a jacuzzi.
Okay.
And, you know, some midlife.
Sure.
Midlife single dad.
In his convertible.
Dad.
Yeah,
your leather, dad was planning some action.
Leather sofa. and so he buys this thing. It's like a $4,000, $5,000 jacuzzi. It's got the lights and the sprays and all these things to make it look cool.
Condom dispenser.
Okay. He's so happy about it. So stoked. And he's like, it was expensive, but it was worth it. I was like, yeah, you know, treat yourself. And he goes, weird though. I've been checking my credit card bill. And nothing there.
It didn't get charged.
And I was like, all right. He's like, I guess they'll charge it next week. Or And then the next week it didn't charge it. And so he tells me, he says, do I call them? And I go, I don't know. They probably have some sort of 30-day net. You know, like they'll charge you in 30 days. And then 30 days passed and nothing. And my dad, one of our last conversations right before he died, he goes, you know, I never paid for that jacuzzi.
Amazing.
On his deathbed?
Yeah, it was like years later. He had sold the Vegas house.
Did you ever tell them you were someone you were not?
No.
Memo says if he thought he was going to be arrested, he would have just paid for the extra TV or given it back. Now he's looking at the possibility of jail time.
All right, now that's a weird thing for me, because doesn't it seem like if they arrest him for keeping that, the worst that could happen is he would have to give it back and pay maybe a little extra, maybe a fine?
If that.
If he
they send him to jail.
If he misled police, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
They went out and they have his signature. And then he's not answering the calls when they're telling him we need to return it. He did everything wrong in this and now he's playing dumb. And I say, sir, you are dumb.
Well,
good night.
Make a great
Hey, David King of Mexico.
Good morning, everyone. How are
if
we
I
today?
Heard correctly off the air, Jensen says you and your girlfriend need to break up. No!
There's a bit of... He has a bit of a loophole,
right.
But we'll get into it.
Loophole. All right,
what's
tell
going
us.
On?
Well, I confessed to the room. I guess not a confession, but we were talking, and I let everyone know that me and my girlfriend sleep in separate bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah,
and
every
night. I jumped in and said that I believe... Because this is a common thing nowadays.
Mm-hmm. It
People
is.
Sleep in different bedrooms because of snoring, you know,
schedules,
etc. Mm-hmm. I said that I think it's a compatibility issue, and I think that people who can't sleep in the same bed, that I wouldn't be with them. I think that they should not be together.
Okay, so Hot Take Jones.
Hot Take Jones. Hot Take Jones is back. Yeah.
Says a dumb thing.
Hot Take Jones is
Concert
back.
Concert should be 35 minutes.
But I will tell you that the reason he's in a small loophole is that they do sleep together on weekends.
Yes.
So I'm not, okay. they don't complete, they're not separate all the time.
Yeah. So they're only incompatible 5 days a week, and you're allowed.
Right. I think.
But what if you can't sleep? That's a big thing. Sleep is a huge thing.
Okay, so why can't you sleep? Explain to me what you're saying.
Your partner snores too much or whatever. I don't
know. Tosses and turns or pulls the covers.
Why do you sleep
in
different,
to me, that's a compatibility issue.
Yeah, we sleep in separate...
Snoring?
Yes.
Yeah. We sleep in separate rooms because of my alarm. She wakes up like that.
That's annoying.
Any sound of the noise. And I don't. Yeah. So I have three alarms, and when they start going off at 3:45, 4:15, then it kills her, and she punches me in the back of the head. You know, it's like...
Maybe that's why you need to get up, though. So
it helps.
I do get that. And they sleep together on weekends, so it's something to look forward to. I understand.
Yeah.
But I feel the same way about pets when people are like, I don't let my dog sleep in the bed. I'm like, dude, that's the best part. I think... Sleeping next to your mate or your partner is such a large aspect of your connecting. Like, it's a big part of you and your relationship.
But what you're saying is if somebody's tossing and turning and the other partner is not getting adequate sleep, you're saying you're just not compatible.
Yes.
That's an insane statement.
If you toss
Jensen.
And turn and you wake up your partner, you should find someone who sleeps like
That's
more deep.
So stupid.
That's so dumb.
You're so dumb.
So they're perfect in every other. They're perfect in every other way.
Well, no one's perfect in every other way, but yes, if they're good together in every
they're
other way.
They're good together in every other way.
Yes.
But someone can't sleep, they should break up. That's just incredibly dumb.
I'll take one
dumb.
Other thing back. If you're not going to ever complain about it, like, oh, I never sleep because my partner keeps me whatever, that's compatible. I think that's compatible. But if you're like,
what are you talking about?
I can't believe I can't ever sleep next to him. He snores and he tosses and turns, so I sleep in another room. It seems like, what? That's crazy to me.
See, here's the thing with me. I had a boyfriend that we'll say he ran hot, is what we'll call it.
Right.
So we'd be dead asleep, and then I'd feel him like come in for the snuggle mid-sleep, just sweating bullets. Ugh. And I was like, oh, gross. Beat it, kid. If we had separate bedrooms, we might still be together. But that, for me, that was a deal breaker. I couldn't do it. All things sweaty, I'm not eating it. That's what I'm
That's
saying.
That's true. I heard a woman
but
say that.
I also think if you sleep better without someone near you, why not just have
like
a bed?
Like live forever on your own?
No, that. But have a bed where, you know, you do the deed, you cuddle, you do all that, and then...
So you have a sex bed.
Then you just kind of... Right.
So now you have three beds.
Then you just kind of walk over to it's your own bedroom. Why not?
I just think that being in the same bed, sleeping next to each other, is a large part of a relationship.
I mean, listen,
you sound very needy.
I do miss her during the week. So on the weekends, I am extremely grateful to have her in
great.
The bed.
Right?
So it works out perfect for me because she gets to her sleep. Mm-hmm. I miss her. And then on the weekend.
That's fine.
That's nice.
Yeah.
He gets a pass.
You should get a body pillow. Do you have one of those?
Says the person with a body pillow.
From the 818, screw sleeping with someone. So many things you have to get used to. The smell, the noises, the alarms. Plus, you get your own space. It makes it so much easier to get along. The best relationship I ever had, we had separate rooms. Then we had to move to Los Angeles where it was too expensive to have two bedrooms. And we broke up having to share.
Boom!
What do you say about that, Jensen?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing wrong with separate bedrooms.
Sounds like you had a great relationship. Why not just get two houses?
Hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Hey, that's worked for me for a really long time, you guys.
106.7 K-Rock.
Mid-bite.
It's K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Hold on. At 8:05.
What are you doing?
I mean, it's eating hash browns.
Back to you. Hey, it's come up a couple of times recently where people in the news, like Allie's great news from earlier this week. 11-year-old kid jumps into a pool, saves a life. Guy's drowning,
yeah,
bunch of people standing around, don't know how to swim. This kid doesn't know how to swim either. He says, screw it, I still can't just let this dude drown. He jumps into a pool and saves a life. That must be an amazing feeling when you actually save somebody's life.
It wasn't to that 11-year-old kid for some reason.
He was over it as it was happening.
He definitely took it in stride. And Allie, you did a story on What's Happening a couple of days ago about Chance the Rapper revealing that he had also saved a life, correct?
Yeah, and it happened, I guess, around Easter. And he just wound up tweeting about it and Instagramming about it. And he said, basically, I was driving to Church Dolo, about to go south on Lakeshore, and another car drives into the wall in front of me, going like 90 miles per hour, coming off the exit. I was the only person out there when it first happened, and his car was on fire, so I had to break his window, take off his seatbelt, and let his seat back, and pull a whole grown man out of the car unconscious. And then some kid was looking at his stories and was like, that was my uncle, and that did happen. So just randomly driving to church, sees someone in peril, decides to hop out of his car and take matters into his own hands.
Chance the Medic.
Yeah.
That also happened with Ken Jeong, friend of the show.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Ken Jeong was doing, I believe the story is, he was doing comedy, stand-up comedy in Arizona, mm-hmm. and he mid-set realized that someone in the audience was having a seizure.
Oh, gosh.
And so he noticed, and there was a little bit of commotion around it, mm-hmm. ran down, stabilized, did the whole thing for her, and then stayed by them until the ambulance came, saved their life. And also made sure the tongue wasn't, you know, all the things you're supposed to do.
Everybody else went and got their money back, because what was the show?
Oh, no, it was hilarious. Everyone loved it. Everyone was like, ah, what a
Encore!
Bit. What a bit.
What a bit.
Yeah.
We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067, if you save someone's life. Right?
God.
Our former producer, Lightning. I don't know if he saved lives. Did you get that idea, Bean?
Well, I want you to refresh my memory on this story, but I feel like he might have potentially saved somebody's life. It sounds like he kind of jumped in when this couple needed help.
There was a car in front of him that flipped.
Oh.
And he pulled over. He saw it, and he pulled over, and he got out. Lightning, like only he can do, said, I work for a rock station. And they were like, okay. And then he said,
but there's not going to be any rocking and rolling tonight. I'm right here, and I'm going to save your life.
There's no way he said that.
That's what he told us.
No,
that's what he said. There's no rocking and rolling tonight. I was like, what are you doing?
I'd be like, sir, I want to die now.
Take my life.
And he, but he did stay there with them until medics and everybody came. And
but what did he do to actually save their life? That's what
I don't
remember.
Know because
he didn't pull them out of the car and then caught fire or anything like that.
I don't
that, right?
know that the car caught on fire because I think we were so focused on I'm not going to rock and roll tonight or whatever that was.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have blown up for all we know. I don't know. But so that was a possible saving of a life because there's not going to be rock and rolling tonight.
There's no way.
What a dork. He said that.
Why would he do that?
I don't, because he's lightning.
Yeah.
You know.
Have you guys, I'm trying to think. I don't know that I've ever been in a position where I could be the guy to pull somebody off the train tracks or whatever. But have you ever been in a situation like that where it's been up to you? You're in the right place, right time to help somebody from getting killed?
I never have.
No, I've never even been close.
I've held friends' hair while they're puking and stuff.
I don't think that's the same.
I mean, I don't want to brag about it, but
I don't think that qualifies.
No?
By the way, my wife is, this is another topic. We're going right to your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
Oh, no.
My wife is furious that I will not hold her hair back when she vomits.
Okay, different topic.
But I know it is. I know it is. Because she thinks that's the ultimate expression of love. That's
Amen.
How you know you have found your soulmate.
Amen.
Is when somebody is willing to see you at your absolute worst.
When Danielle and my wife, when she's been barfing, I like having my back rubbed or something.
Yeah.
So I've tried to do it with her. And she, get out of the room!
Well, yeah,
that's, I know why you're saying that.
That's my reaction, is I don't want anyone to see this.
I don't either.
I mean? Like, it's just weird.
Yeah. Like, this is my alone time.
I'm not expecting her help when I'm vomiting, and I don't want her to want my help when she's vomiting. But she's got hair. That's the issue here. All right. 1-800-520-1067.
Is that the issue?
Yes, that's the issue. That's why she needs help.
Right,
because
sure.
She's trying not to throw up on her hair. All right. Why don't we start with Jeff in Newport Beach. Saved not one, but two lives, you guys.
Wow.
That's a great way to get us started.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys.
So you
saved the show.
Thank you very much. You saved two lives.
Yeah. It was about 10 years ago. I was at a Halloween Spirit in Costa Mesa, and the lady was kind of acting kind of frantic, and I looked over, and her son was kind of looked like he was in distress, and sure enough, I went over and she said, I think he's choking on something. So I looked at him and he just clearly wasn't breathing. So I did a Heimlich maneuver, just went behind him with one hand and pumped on his chest. Oh, I only hit him once. And
I'm not sure you understand the Heimlich maneuver.
Yeah.
I punched him in the face as hard as I could. And
I got behind him and pulled my hand towards his chest.
Okay, that's all right.
Hit him straight in the chest.
Okay.
But he coughed up a piece of makeup that he had stuck in his mouth.
Oh, well, that was Darwinism. You got to let him go.
Yeah.
Let that guy go. So now we're blaming you for that guy.
Hey, how do you know the Heimlich maneuver?
Doesn't everyone?
Everyone.
Just from school. I did CPR in school. You know, back in the 80s, they actually taught you stuff.
I assumed everyone knew that.
I don't know how to do it. I'm learning as obviously I'm having a kid
and
soon.
And Bean,
so.
You don't know either?
I've never been taught it. I'm sorry.
Really?
I don't know.
All right, so Jeff, that's one person. What about the second one?
The second one happened less than a year later. My daughter was sitting at Valentine's. We happened to have Valentine's dinner, and she was eating a piece of steak and just got a piece of steak lodged in her throat and was making a choking, had her hands kind of wrapped around her throat like she was having in distress. And so I just immediately got up quick and I
ran over and punched her.
It was almost the same thing as I got behind her and I just pulled one time real aggressive right into her chest and she coughed it right out.
You are good at the Heimlich.
Oh, yeah, really is.
You want Jeff around if you need a Heimlich.
Then, I hope you got mad at her for wasting steak.
I think it's a little different with kids. You know, if you really pop them once, they're gonna get it out.
Pop them. I'm still not sure you know what the Heimlich is.
I don't think the people who taught you the Heimlich maneuver taught you the terms.
But he's right. You have to be more gentle with them because you don't want to like
break a rib. People break their ribs.
Absolutely.
That way,
yeah.
Jeff is a hero. You
yeah,
guys.
He is.
Thank
right?
you very
Standing
much.
Standing O.
Appreciate the call.
We're golf.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Huntington Beach. Sarah is on line four. Kevin, she saved a life in the last minute.
What?
That's what she says.
Sarah?
Yes, I'm here. Hello. Good morning.
What are you doing? What's going on?
I was driving my daughter to school, and here comes this guy in his big white truck talking on his phone, not paying attention, and he almost barreled into two little girls with his stupid white truck.
Wow.
Like, you know,
what did you do?
Meathead style.
What did you do?
I just blared out my horn. I literally, like, instantly, I saw the girls, I saw the guy, and I freaked out. Blared on my horn and saved their life.
The other guy saved two lives and he did it with one try. So, Sarah, I don't think this works.
Wait, she honked the horn? That's how she saved a life?
I had fast reflexes and I saved their life.
All right.
That's the way I see it.
All right. You go ahead and believe that, honey.
I'll accept that, Sarah.
Thank you for the call. I'm glad everybody's okay. We appreciate it. All right. Do we have time for one more before the break?
Sure.
All right, let's go to Alan. He's on line eight. He's in Woodland Hills. He has a different kind of saving a life.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Hey, so this is like 15 years ago. I'm in high school. Me and my friends are partying in the woods, right? And there's this little, like, clearing landing spot that you got to go down a hill to get to. And then there's a cliff. And, like, we were just going to, like, chill, like, in, like, a landing area.
Right.
Well, so my buddy, who was really fat, like, when he went down that hill to get to the landing spot, he was, like, so fat he couldn't stop running down the hill.
Oh, no.
And so he was, like, running directly towards the cliff, like, running towards me pretty much.
Oh, no.
And, like, no. I could see the panic in his face. So I don't know what exactly I did. I sort of just, like, grabbed him by the shirt and his arm and just, like, spun him and myself, like, around. And I kind of went flying, went in one direction, and he just stopped running. But it was like.
But he didn't
right
fall off the cliff. Wow.
He did not fall off the cliff, no.
You sound pretty happy for a guy who only saved a fat dude.
What B means by that is you're a hero, Alan.
That's what I meant. You're a hero. Great work. Outstanding work. All right. Thank you for the call on that. 1-800-520-1067. By the way, we just got nothing but heroes listening to the show. Look at these phones.
Right?
Yeah.
They're ringing off the hook. You saved a life. We'll take your calls next time, Kevin.
All right. Just ahead of the interrupters, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Stephen in Valencia. Good morning, Stephen.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good. Thank you. You saved a life.
I hope you honked your horn.
She could have saved their lives, you guys.
No. Okay. All right. What happened there, Stephen?
So a friend of mine, a co-worker of mine, we used to take off from work, go to Scratchers, a local store, and just kind of mess around and have some fun. Well, across the street, there was an intersection and train tracks on the other side, and a young kid ended up slamming into the back of this really old guy, older SUV. The guy didn't really know what was going on, so he ended up hitting the gas on accident and jumping the curb. He turned his SUV on its side, and it was straddling the train track.
Oh, God.
So basically ran over there. There was no way to open a door or anything like that. I just had to smash the glass out of the back. I crawled in and pulled him out through the back.
Unbelievable.
Wow, that's like a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's legit, dude.
Yeah.
That's great. That's awesome. Thank you, Stephen. We appreciate you listening. We'll take your calls next, 1-800-520-1067. After our good friends playing Coachella, the Interrupters on... It came out in the news a couple days ago that Chance the Rapper saved a life. We want to find out if he's better than you, or if you have also saved a life at 1-800-520-1067. You know, I was thinking during that song about Steve's story. Do you think that you would have the wherewithal to jump out of your car, run essentially onto the railroad tracks, smash out a window, and pull a guy out before the train got there? You guys think you could do that?
I would hope so.
I mean,
I don't know. There's no way to know.
I like to think I would, but then I see a reality of me holding up my cell phone yelling World Star.
Let's go to line four, please. This is going to be Courtney. I'm so glad, Courtney, that you were listening and that you called and you hung on, because this sounds like an amazing story. You saved a life. What are the deets?
I did. Me and my two sisters, actually. We were hanging out in my house one night, and we heard seven pops. And my sister was like, was that a gun? Was this gunshots? I'm not really sure. So we peeked out my door, and we saw a man holding his side. It was dark, so he was kind of bent over, holding his side, going up to doors and knocking, and nobody was opening. So we ran out there, And he said, I'm shot. So we grabbed him. It was clear he wasn't going to make it all the way back to my house. So we literally busted into my neighbor's door, put him on the floor, told my neighbor, grab some towels now, call 911. Okay. He was shot in the groin area. He had been shot 5 times.
Oh.
So we held towels on all his wounds. And I just told my other sister, just keep talking to him. We asked him, who did this? He said, my wife.
Oh, and, man.
Can you tell me how he did?
He say it normally? Did he just go, my wife, or did he do it like Borat?
Oh, he was like, he was in and kind of in and out of consciousness. And okay. He just said, my wife. He kept saying that. We came to find out that his ex-wife had called him and asked him to meet her at this school across the street from our house. And when he got there, she had a man waiting there that shot him.
Oh, my God. Check you out. You took him into the neighbor's house. I like that. And then,
yeah, because you don't get blood on your carpet.
Right.
You
want to keep your house clean.
But if she hadn't gotten that info out of him and he died, no one would have known who shot. Wow, Courtney.
That's true.
Hey, Courtney, you didn't mention this in the story, but did you ever call 911?
They did. We were taking care of him, so we told the neighbor, call 911 now.
Okay,
and they did. They got there.
I just wondered if he was still on the floor.
You mean now? Right. He's still on the floor now?
Yeah. Did he survive, as far as you know?
I'm sorry?
Did he survive?
Did he make it?
Oh, yes. We went to the hospital to visit him, and he said that all he remembers from that night was three angels that came to his rescue.
That is amazing.
That's amazing.
That's a great story. Yeah. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you for calling.
That would be the best meet cute.
That would be. They ended up marrying after he divorces that awful wife. Let's go to line eight. We'll talk to Abby while I read this text. This is from a good Kevin, you guys. There aren't very many of those, but this is Kevin in Riverside. I used to work security at a big department store in Riverside, and long story short, I pulled a little girl's hand out of an escalator. It would have pulled her all the way in if I hadn't shut it off. She only lost a couple of fingers.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That could have been bad. You do see people who get killed being rolled up in escalators.
Remember that caller who was like, I honked once?
Stop it. Sarah, you did good work.
She very well could have saved lives.
All right.
Let's go to Abby in Santa Clarita. Hi.
Hi. So I was in Zuma Beach, and there was a little girl in the water, and she got knocked down by a wave and got sucked under by a riptide. And I was out in the water, and there was a huge wave coming that would have knocked me down, so we were all running. And I noticed that she wasn't there, and I ran back, and I couldn't see her, so I just reached down in the water and grabbed her and pulled her out because her parents weren't paying attention.
Wow. That's amazing.
And you're not a lifeguard. You were just on the beach as well.
No, I was just swimming in the water, too.
Wow.
Abby sounds chill.
She
Abby
does, yeah.
She and
does,
she still saved a life.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
cool.
What was the reaction from the parents? Were they, I mean, obviously they were grateful to you, but were they just horrified that they had let that happen without them even noticing?
No, they didn't talk to me. They just told the girl to go say thank you.
They didn't talk to you?
Yeah.
God.
Dicks.
All right, Abby. Great work. Thank you for the call. Let's go to another water-related life-saving. This is going to be Carrie. He's line 7. He's in Murrieta up next on the Kevin Meade Show. Where's Murrieta, you guys?
Yep.
It's over by
by the thing.
Where the 10 and the 210 meet.
Right.
In Sandinas?
Yeah, it's in Raging Waters.
If only we had Carrie, who's on the line.
Carrie, where's Murrieta? I'm sorry. I'm not placing you.
You don't know where Murrieta is. It's you may be more familiar with Temecula.
Okay.
Temecula.
Okay. All right, so you're Temecula adjacent. All right, how'd you save a life?
Yeah. Well, what happened, my wife had a friend years ago who was way too young to have children, but she had a four-year-old daughter, and we were at a party, and there was a swimming pool, and her daughter, she was like 3 or 4 years old, didn't know how to swim. And so she had those little the inflatable things on her arms.
Sure.
Yeah, water wings.
Floaties.
Mm-hmm.
Floaties,
Okay. And so she was swimming all day, and then they had lunch, and she took them off. And then the little girl decided to jump back in the pool.
Mm.
And she sank right down to the bottom.
Oh, no.
Paperweight.
And,
Yeah, and this young mother in her, you know, high heels and stuff, she starts yelling, "Help, help, help." I'm like, just get your daughter out of the pool.
Right, you go.
And so,
oh, I'm glad you're debating. I'm glad that's the time to have a conversation. Maybe start assigning blame after the kid is breathing.
I mean, Carrie so far has said she was way too young to have a kid, and now she's in high heels. I mean, what a bitch, right?
She's got a lot of nerve.
Yeah, you're a terrible mother. Going to save him real quick.
All right. Is the end of this story, Carrie, that you jumped in and saved the kid?
Yeah, she was like a Susie and the Banshee kind of girl.
We don't care about that part. We're just, okay, you saved the kid.
You know what? You may have saved a life, but you're killing someone today.
Danielle Fishel in the next hour.
Yeah, she is.
Nice.
Later today, Adam Carolla in studio.
How about that?
How long has it been since he's been in studio?
Can't even remember. He's too big, too popular, too rich for us now.
30 years?
I don't think it's been that long.
Not that long, okay.
He doesn't need us, but he has put out his first ever stand-up comedy special. And as you can imagine, it's hilarious. So we'll catch up with the Ace Man. That's all coming up Wednesday morning on K-Rock. It's time for People Are Dumb.
Dumb. Woman calls police after drug dealer sells her sugar instead of cocaine. Why do people not... How come people think I need to call police when they're doing a drug deal that goes bad?
Mm-hmm.
What are they thinking?
I mean,
because
she was stiff.
Their outrage has to go somewhere, or they're high.
She gave the drug dealer $380 for cocaine. Mm-hmm. She took it back home. She snorted it. And she's like, this isn't cocaine.
She didn't do the taste test there?
Yeah, you got to do the taste test.
Oh, God, I learned that in drug buying 101.
I always do the taste test.
Sure, it'll be ridiculous. She called the police. Please put the story on Facebook. One Facebook user wrote, "What in the world is coming when we can't trust our friendly neighborhood drug dealer?" And here's the last line. I want you guys to help me understand exactly what this means, because it's very difficult to understand. According to police, a woman was spoken to in relation to the matter, and appropriate advice and guidance were given. Does that mean they just told her, hey, don't do that?
Yeah, she got a warning, basically. But also, like, who's writing that?
Yeah, Shakespeare.
Yeah, I don't know. I should figure it out.
Did they read that from a scroll?
Dumb. Footprints in the snow led police from a stolen car right to the suspect.
Oh.
Instead of Hackensack, New Jersey, there was a fresh snow, and then it stopped snowing. And a car was stolen. The victim called the police. Responding officers tracked down the suspect by the tire tracks in the snow. Then he got out of the car after wrecking it and went on foot, and they followed the footprints in the snow.
Well, like you do.
To his house. The 23-year-old suspect was arrested of motor vehicle theft and resisting arrest charges.
I know that the title of this bit is People Are Dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another example of it, because when you walk three steps, you should realize, hey, you know what? I can easily be tracked here. Maybe wait till some of this melts.
Again, perhaps alcohol or drugs were involved, because maybe you don't think that way. But
or just dumb.
Even the tracks in the car, even the wheel, you know, the wheels making tracks in the snow.
Sure.
At least this time it was real snow and not sugar.
Right, exactly. This man refused to go to prison, and I want you guys to guess why. Florida Pensacola Police Department responded to a report of a possible battery arriving at the home around 10 a.m. to find a suspect barricaded inside his house with a gun to his head.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Police say Evan Charles McLemore was his name. He previously had served 18 months in prison for battery, claimed he was not going back to prison earlier this month. And this is what a ridiculous, crazy person this is. McLemore's stepmother told police that he held a knife to his grandmother's throat.
Oh.
Who does that?
Oh, another McLemore I don't like.
She said the 33-year-old had also tried to strangle his father.
Jeez. Oh.
So SWAT was called, 4-hour standoff. What made him finally give up and surrender to the police?
They took him to a thrift shop.
Good guess. That's a good guess. He told him he was hungry. SWAT ordered a pizza to be delivered.
Uh-huh.
Sent the pizza in. He was happy, ate his pizza.
Walked out,
turned himself in.
Wow.
How could they not send a SWAT guy with the pizza, like dressed as a pizza man?
I don't know that they didn't, but...
blows his head off.
He literally just said, okay, I'll give up now and go back to jail.
Wow. Wow.
Because pizza's great, you
it's
guys.
It's a hell of a pizza.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And this next one I'm playing more as much for the news report as I am for the story. It's a woman going to get arrested over a McDonald's apple pie.
Oh.
Okay.
So here's the news.
A craving for a McDonald's apple pie lands a woman in jail.
Yeah, something got her so fired up, the cops had to be called. Fox 5's Denise Dillon is live for us in Covington.
And Denise, she really wanted that apple pie.
Hey, let me tell you, she wanted that apple pie like breath. Am I right?
Yes, she did.
Yes! Wow, she wanted that. Crazy.
I mean, we've all had these. Who wouldn't want one of these, right? But the problem is...
The problem is, what happened?
Oh,
why?
No. Oh, no.
Why? What happened?
Was it frozen?
Jensen.
Was that the first thing that came to mind?
She was eventually taken to jail.
Yeah. I don't... I mean,
what happened?
What would even be... I mean, I can only imagine assault with a pie. I mean, that's all I could think of.
Bean, any thoughts?
No thoughts. Yeah. I am puzzled by this one.
Same.
She did not want to pay for it. I'm told at one point she even threw the pie at one of the employees. Mm. Well, it wasn't long after that. Police were called, and she was cuffed.
I got close. Yeah, saw it with a pie.
$1.06. Just want to mention it's $1.06.
Sometimes you just don't want to pay for it, though. And it's yours.
Get back there. At least I get my money back.
Get back.
Do you understand?
That's her going crazy.
That's real?
Yes. Hmm. And you're right, throwing the apple pie and yelling and threatening to punch people. And here's the police.
This woman is furious. She wanted a McDonald's apple pie, the golden flaky dessert with the gooey warm apple filling.
Oh, that one.
Right there. Now I want a McDonald's apple pie. That sounds like the best thing ever.
Why would she describe it as if no one's ever had it?
Also, you can't just do an ad in the middle of a news report.
I'm salivating now.
Yeah. But she was told it would be a five-minute wait.
Five-minute wait. Hasn't everyone waited for everything for 5 minutes at McDonald's?
Yeah.
That's a long time for a pie, though.
But just pull up and say, okay, you're a little frustrated.
Yeah, you do it, but yeah, you don't throw a pie at somebody.
Employees told police Ana Luisa Guita Baltazar was angry because she expected to get the pie for free to compensate her for having to wait. When the employees said no, Guiti Baltazar was fighting mad.
She was fighting mad.
Yeah.
See, because then what she did was she fought.
Right.
Oh, I hate these reporters so much.
Could have said she was piping hot, and it would have been a decent pun. Yeah.
And starts using profanity and screaming at the employee. Starts aggressively walking towards her. She's punching her fist into her hand.
Guiti Baltazar was arrested for disorderly conduct. The pie cost $1.06.
$1.06.
This is the cop.
For an apple pie versus an $837 disorderly conduct citation. Yes, her car was towed from the scene, too, so you can stack a tow charge on top of that.
Another couple $100.
Mm-hmm.
Friends of the employees say the customer got her just desserts.
No! Now, she said just desserts!
No.
Just desserts!
And just like that, the reporter got cuffed. Now she's got to pay.
Look.
Here's my point.
When you're young,
right,
and you're new in Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
You just want a job. You just want to take a job. You just want to do what you can, see how far it'll go.
Right.
We did a lot of bad things. We're still doing a lot of bad things, but we did a lot of bad things in the early 90s. Some of it was casting couches, yes, but some of it was going on TV when we had no business being on TV. All right? We got a tweet from our former friend, Eric Goldman, who is a longtime listener to the Kevin and Bean Show. And, well, why don't we let him explain how this monster was unleashed unto the world. Hey, Eric. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
So what, well, first of all, how did you end up spending your weekend going through your VHS tapes? What were you looking for?
It's a slow, slow process. I'm trying to get rid of them. But, you know, there might be precious things on them, and obviously I found a very precious thing on one of them. So I'm very slowly going through and trying to digitize stuff that I might want to save and then throw out all the stuff I don't need so they're not just taking space in boxes in the back of the house.
I got you.
What he's doing is tidying up, you guys.
Yes,
he's just looking
yes.
for things that spark joy.
He
That's
found
what's
something.
Well, this certainly did.
So you put the tape in, and you have no idea if it's going to be some TV movie from the 80s or if it's going to be a sex tape with an old girlfriend. But what pops up on the screen but Kevin and Bean? Tell me what the thought process was when you saw us behind the desk at E! Entertainment Television.
It was really funny because it's literally the first thing on the video. It's that fuzziness, and then it pops in, and there is Kevin and Bean and these outfits that I just can't explain. I don't know if you guys can explain.
Of course
but
not.
But it made quite an impression.
I can try.
Yeah, go ahead.
They look like two cast members of Designing Women. They're wearing blazers that are in ridiculous colors, almost like a neon almost. And then they have shoulder pads in.
That's true.
And shirts underneath. And they both, I mean, Kevin, you do look like Dave Coulier.
You do. And by the way, some of the comments, we got hundreds and hundreds of comments. You can see the video at all the Kevin and Bean social media on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. But some of the most of the comments may have been from people too young to remember that shoulder pads were a thing in the late 80s and early 90s. It's not that we went in there and said, hey, guys, we really want to look like we're playing for the Rams. I mean, this is how suits were built back then.
But it's also not like we got to pick.
No.
They dressed us. They said, hey, wear this. And we were like, all right.
And E, it's hard to imagine now post-Kardashian, but E at the time was just a fledgling entertainment cable channel that had no money, and they got their clothes from whoever they could get them from. They couldn't go to any of the big names and get wardrobes. So
they went to Miami Vice and pulled these.
No, the Miami Vice stunt show.
Essentially, they went to Miami Vice, and they say, hey, what do you have for Crockett and Tubbs here doing the show? And this is what they gave us. So Kevin, yeah, Kevin's is kind of a weak yellow, and mine is just an obnoxious bright purple.
I mean, they're both obnoxious and horrible.
They're terrible. And by the way, a lot of people suggesting, Eric, I don't know if you saw this, that does Kevin have a little bit of a mullet happening?
There certainly seems to be a little bit of a mullet rocking there, but it's really Bean, that purple. I mean, purple is my favorite color, but I could never, ever imagine trying to wear that coat. So I'm just trying to think of your mindset when they handed you that and said, here, go out with that.
I'm going to say again that Bean and I were both in the mindset of, oh, somebody wants to put us on TV? Okay, tell us how to do that.
Yeah, give me a little bit of history as to how you got to E.
I mean, we had started at K-Rock in 1990, mm-hmm. and so I don't know, someone there liked us or whatever, and they said, you know, we need you guys' a sense of humor. We need you guys to come on and make it funny and mm-hmm. say the kind of stuff that you guys say. And then, like all television shows, once we did that, they said, hey, stop with all the commentary. Just present it straightly. And I was like, hey, we weren't brought in for this.
Yeah, because if I remember correctly, and I trust your memory on this way more than mine, Kevin, but they had sponsors they couldn't offend, and
yes.
more importantly, they were trying to establish relationships with stars, so we couldn't make a joke about Arnold Schwarzenegger, say, back then, because they might want to try to do something with Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know what I mean?
So that's every joke we made, they would pull out.
Right. So the stuff we could do on the radio, they wouldn't let us do on TV.
Well, they didn't pull out the jackets, and those are jokes.
Right? No, that was their idea. And, by the way, this is my best memory, is... They gave us two plastic bags, and in the plastic bags were makeup.
Like do it yourself?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh wow.
Now Bean and I would go to the dressing room and we would put on our own makeup, of course, which we've never done.
Right.
No idea how to do it.
I don't know how much or how little for TV, you know, they sort of have the way they do it. They told us to do it ourselves, and I just remember day after day walking out and Bean would go, you know, I got a huge blotch of makeup right there. You should go back and just take a look.
Yeah.
And I would go back and take a look. It was a nonstop. We looked like clowns every day.
Yeah.
Eric, why did you tape this? Why were you taping E in 1991?
Because as a super geeky kid who grew into a super geeky adult, pre-internet, pre-YouTube, that was the only way I was going to see movie trailers, behind-the-scenes footage from movies.
Oh.
It's that whole tape, it's Entertainment Tonight, episodes of The Big Picture from MTV and E, because it's like, I want to learn everything about Summer 91, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, and The Rocketeer are coming out, and I need to get all the info on those movies, and where else am I going to get them except for these entertainment shows?
Also, you guys, you can see the video at Kevin and Bean on Instagram or Twitter, but if you do, I do suggest maybe looking away at some point, because it has a real vibe of The Ring. Like, if you watch it, you're going to die in 7 days. It's, like, kind of fuzzy, and it's sketchy. It's just creepy.
We're going to play the audio, which is only, like, 20 seconds or something like that. But, Eric, you are such a pop culture savant. I don't even remember the movie that we're talking about. Apparently, Phoebe Cates was in called Drop Dead Fred. What was it?
Drop Dead Fred was a movie where it was basically the idea of her imaginary friend from childhood returns to her as an adult, and comic hijinks ensue.
All right, let's hear the tape. The audio is not fantastic, but you hear a little bit of Kevin talking about Phoebe Cates, and then I pick it up to introduce the clip. And again, not good.
Her purse and her job all in one day, and that's not enough for her.
Yeah, but she's got her health.
By the way, not good does not do this justice. It's horrible. You can barely understand what we're saying. All right, here we go.
Her purse and her job all in one day, and that's not enough for her.
Yeah, but she's got her health. However, things don't really get bad until she runs into her old imaginary childhood friend, Drop Dead Fred. Now, you might remember Cates from her roles in the Gremlins movie and in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Before that, she was a model for Seventeen magazine. Here's a look now at Phoebe Cates in Drop Dead Fred.
Drop Dead. I mean, come on.
That was it.
Where's the applause?
How long did this job last?
I mean, I remember, like, a month or two. Like, really? That's it? Really? That's what I remember, yeah.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I just remember, the clothing because they gave it to us every day. And by the way, every single day was another one of this type of jacket, but different. So they're not exactly the same every day, but every day it was blinding and they had shoulder pads. I know that that was true. I remember doing our own makeup, which is terrible. And I remember that it was a very short gig.
I went on YouTube yesterday trying to see if there was any more Kevin and Bean on E! Entertainment Television. I could not find any more video of us.
Oh, that's the government. They took it all down.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
It's the right move.
Yeah. If anybody out there has any links or any tapes to more of us on E!, I think we would enjoy seeing it.
Love it.
And as bad as we were, we still went on and did that Adventures of Mark and Brian show in prime time on NBC.
That wasn't you.
That was
not
that
our
was
show.
Not you guys.
Oh, that was another morning show called Mark and Brian.
Literally,
like I said, I don't have a lot of memory. Eric, thank you for uncovering this, and thank you for sharing it. It's my own personal shame, and I'll probably think about it on my deathbed.
I love it. I love it in every way.
No problem. I was so hoping to find more on that tape, and there wasn't. But if I find any more Kevin and Bean footage,
please,
you know I'm going to be posting it.
You're the best, Eric. Thanks a lot, buddy.
This happened while I was out last week, and I'm especially curious to get your take on it, Allie. It's Leggingsgate that has been ripping the nation apart. At Notre Dame, I guess a mom of a student there on the 25th of March wrote a letter to the newspaper. I've thought about writing this letter for a long time. I waited, hoping that fashions would change and such a letter would be unnecessary, but that doesn't seem to be happening. I'm not trying to insult anyone or infringe upon anyone's rights. I'm just a Catholic mother of four sons with a problem that only girls can solve. Leggings.
Oh, what's the problem?
How do you solve a problem like leggings, right?
Is that your Sound of Music?
Yeah, it's what it was, yeah. The emergence of leggings as pants some years ago baffled me. They're such an unforgiving garment. Last fall, they obtruded painfully on my landscape. Boy, that's a great sentence.
It's not bad.
Last fall, they obtruded painfully on my landscape.
Yeah. Edgar Allan Poe-esque.
I was at a mass at the Basilica with my family. In front of us was a group of young women, all wearing very snug-fitting leggings and all wearing short-waisted tops so that the lower body was uncovered except for the leggings. Some of them truly looked as though the leggings had been painted on them. A world in which women continue to be depicted as babes by movies, video games, music videos, etc., makes it hard on Catholic mothers to teach their sons that women are someone's daughters and sisters, that women should be viewed first as people, and all people should be considered with respect. If I could go off script for a minute here, doesn't it sound like all women should be treated, considered with respect, except the part where we allow them to dress how they're comfortable?
Keep going.
Okay.
Okay.
I talked to my sons about Princess Leia and how Jabba the Hutt tried to steal her personhood by putting her into a slave girl outfit in which her body became the focus. That's the only scene in the whole franchise in which Leia appears that way, and it's forced upon
her.
FYI,
this is the second story now where fictitious things are entering into the world of reality, and that's concerning to me, but go on.
I will say, if I wore the slave girl outfit to mass, I'd be inappropriate.
Yes.
True.
Yes.
True.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
It's hardly fair to compare them to leggings, right?
Right. Right.
I mean, aren't leggings, if you're not wearing pajamas in college, you're wearing leggings.
Absolutely.
That's just the standard outfit
for
college
just
girls.
Sweats that women with really rockin' bodies can pull off.
Yeah.
That's
just,
it.
They're comfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, lady,
I don't want to jump ahead too far here, but we're not responsible for your son or husband having trouble controlling his erection because a woman decides to be comfortable and wear leggings.
That's the point of this whole email, is stop making my sons horny.
Yes.
Is the whole point of the email. And you know what I say to that, lady? F off. Keep going, because now the whole city is turned against her. But keep going, because I hope her sons never have sex again.
Leggings are hardly slave girl outfits, and no one is forcing them on the countless young women who wear them. Which, by the way, is my point. No one is forcing them. This isn't like you're taking somebody and saying, we insist you wear this. This is a grown-ass woman who wants to wear something that's appropriate and comfortable in her day.
Yeah, it's not the school uniform.
Right. But I wonder why no one thinks it's strange that the fashion industry has caused women to voluntarily expose their nether regions this day. I wasn't aware that vaginas were involved. Yeah. Were you?
Some leggings are clear in the front, and they just show your whole hoo-ha.
Yeah, oh, I didn't realize that.
She's making it seem like they're wearing the prince pants.
Right.
With like the
right,
butt
the cutout
butt.
Butt
cheeks, right.
Yeah.
I was ashamed for the young women at Mass, but why don't you just pray for them and shut up, lady?
Right. Yeah.
I thought of all the other men around and behind us who couldn't help but see their behinds. My sons know better than to ogle a woman's body, certainly when I'm around and hopefully also when I'm not. They didn't stare and they didn't comment afterward, but you couldn't help but see those blackly naked rear ends. Why has it got to be black, right?
Yeah.
I didn't want to see them, but they were unavoidable. How much more difficult is it for young guys to ignore them? All right, here's where she starts to swat down some of the defenses that these hussies have made about wearing leggings. I've heard women say that they like leggings because they're, quote, comfortable, which, by the way, is not a word that needs to be in quotes.
No,
they wear
it
because they're comfortable. So are pajamas. So is nakedness. Which, again, is a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, by the way, nakedness not comfortable out in public.
No.
That's true. And no one is suggesting that people go to Mass with no clothes on.
Right.
The human body is a beautiful thing, but we don't go around naked because we respect ourselves and we want to be seen as a person, not a body, like slave girl Leia. She's really hung up on Empire Strikes Back.
My gosh, have you seen any other movies?
We don't go naked because we respect the other people who must see us, whether they would or not. They're not just my sons. They're the fathers and brothers of your friends, the male students in your classes, the men of every variety who visit campus. I'm fretting. Both because of unsavory guys who are looking at you creepily. By the way, lady, you're the one who's looking at them creepily. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
And nice guys who are doing everything to avoid looking at you. For the Catholic for the
nice
Catholic
guys.
Mothers who want to find a blanket to lovingly cover your nakedness and protect you, to find scarves to tie over the eyes of their sons to protect them for you. Last paragraph. Leggings are so naked, so form-fitting, so exposing. Could you think of the mothers of sons the next time you go shopping and consider choosing jeans instead? Let Notre Dame girls be the first to turn their backsides on leggings. You have every right to wear them, but you have every right to choose not to. Thanks for listening to the lecture. Catholic moms are good at those. Her name is Marianne White.
Yeah.
Stop horning up my son.
Yeah.
Yep. So you can imagine every girl in the school turned out the next day in leggings.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a massive. They may wear nothing else.
Yeah.
But leggings.
I wonder if she put that same energy into emails and letters about, you know, pedophilia, priests getting into some real bad stitches over there in Catholicism, or if it's just about women wearing pants that are making her and her husband horny.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say here if she's written any other strongly worded letters to the editor, but she certainly had 600 words on the leggings she saw at church. That's
sure. Come to Judaism. We love those pants.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Everyone's welcome.
Yeah, we love it.
All right.
Oh, but can we just say,
sure,
don't you think her four sons seeing that letter were like, great, Mom.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm never getting laid now. Because she did a huge disservice to her family.
Yeah, thanks for putting your real name on the letter, Mom. Appreciate
that. Oh, my God.
Reflects well on all of us.
Honestly.
Ladies, wear some leggings. Just thinking, Kevin, as we prepare to welcome our next guest to the studio, about the time we had in the guy who sticks beer cans on his head.
Yep.
That guy was an actual guest.
Suction cup face.
That's correct. That we had on the show. This is a far cry
from
that.
Sort of the same thing.
He is a professor of particle physics at the University of Manchester, the Royal Society Professor for Public Engagement and Science, and a fellow of the Royal Society. All that means he is smart as hell. Please welcome back to the show Professor Brian Cox on Q1. Hey, Brian.
Pleasure to be here. I must say, actually, piling beer cans on your head might be an appropriate response to our position in the universe.
Oh, see?
You think about the...
So he was a good guest to have then.
Yeah, the abject futility of being a small sort of
you're
bunch
on
of
for
atoms
30 on a... seconds and you're bringing this down. Seriously.
How many words am I going to have to Google during this segment?
All right, come on, Professor Bummer.
I'm saying we're very small in a very big and possibly infinite universe. And
you were talking to our producer Dave off the air about that right before he went on, and he said that he was watching a show that was on this topic, and he felt incredibly small and kind of panicked a little bit and kind of got depressed about it a little bit when you see how little we matter. And you kind of agreed with them on that. We matter, you're talking about as a species, as humans?
I don't agree. What they actually said was that he found out he was insignificant and only believed it when Tom Hanks told him.
That is what he said, but,
however, no, I actually don't agree with that. It's it is true that we are physically insignificant. So the current number of galaxies, the current estimate for the number of galaxies in the parts of the universe we can see is 2 trillion. So that's 2 trillion galaxies.
Galaxies.
Each one the size of the Milky Way, which has, let's say, 200 billion stars in it.
Oh, my God. So how many suns?
Well, 200 billion suns per galaxy on average.
It's a good first question, though, Kevin.
I don't know. So it's...
Kevin didn't know that stars were suns.
Yeah, how dare you?
No, he's right, though, because some of them are double stars. That's what he meant.
Oh, right.
Yes, that's what he meant.
Thank you, Brian. Now, Brian, I didn't want you to come in here and have to answer the same old dumb questions that you have to answer everywhere you go, but the big questions are the big questions for a reason, because they're the things that we as humans stay up late at night worrying and wondering about.
Yeah.
And you must get asked more than anything else about the possibility of life in other parts of the galaxy, right?
Yeah, and this is where I think we become significant, notwithstanding the fact that we're tiny, because we don't know that there's any life beyond Earth. We haven't found any. We strongly suspect there is. We've got missions on Mars at the moment. There's some of the moons of Jupiter and Saturn. So even in our solar system, we think there might be microbes around, but it will be microbes. And what we really mean when you ask the question, is there life? You sort of really mean aliens.
Are they civilizations?
Yeah. And I've got, you can argue that there might be very few of those. In fact, I've got a friend who's a professor of zoology at Manchester University, and he likes to look up at the Milky Way and point to those 200 billion suns and say, all there will be there is slime.
Can that be, though? Don't you think there's somebody on Jupiter right now that's saying about Earth? They're saying, oh, I bet just microbes out there.
We know that, I mean, first of all, Jupiter's a gas planet, so there'll be no... But I know
what
you
mean. How do we know? I know what you
mean. We've
also,
been there.
The Earth round? These are questions that I haven't fully figured out.
Okay, maybe Jupiter was the wrong one. Let's go Mars.
Yeah, the point is that we've seen no evidence of any civilizations out there. So whilst there might be a lot of microbes...
Not with that attitude.
If it's true that civilizations are very rare, that does make us valuable.
Yeah, you're making me feel very special.
This might be the only place where anyone can have a conversation in the galaxy. It's possible.
Yeah, wow.
That makes it very...
I just can't imagine we are so smart that we make iPhones and we're the only ones. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine cars and buildings and all those things are just us.
Think how long it took us to emerge. So the origin of life on Earth happened about 3.8 billion years ago, we think. We have good evidence for that. And it took 3.8 billion years, which is a third of the age of the universe, to even get to us.
Yeah.
To create this
lazy,
studio.
Right?
We're slow, I'll tell you that.
So it sounds like, Professor, you're saying that even if aliens were to come by, they could have come by long before there was life on this planet. Or will come by long after there is life on this planet, right?
That's true. I mean, there's been, over 13 billion years in this galaxy for life to evolve. So it could be that civilizations pop up and then disappear. And
we're not even a blink of an eye.
Yeah. I mean, we've been here for as a species, a quarter of a million years.
I saw something in the news this week. This is a Professor Brian Cox, who will tell you all about how you can see him live in Hollywood this May in a couple of minutes. I saw something on the news this week that confused me, and I think this is going to be a softball for you. But there was a lot of talk about a rock that they found on the moon that they think came from Earth.
Yeah.
What's that about?
That's quite an arm.
How did that happen?
We know that there are Martian meteorites on Earth, for example. So we know that the Earth can get hit by something, bits of it can be thrown off, and some of that can land on the moon.
So it's just crazy luck.
Yeah, so we know that stuff is transferred between planets. And that leads to that theory, which is probably not right, but it's at least possible that life could have begun on Mars, for example, 3.5-4 billion years ago, and then been transferred to the Earth on rocks. So
What would have caused a chunk of Earth, though, to get knocked out of our orbit and go all the way to the moon?
Or just hit by a big comet or meteorite, you know, like the thing that wipes out the dinosaurs would throw lots of rocks, and some of them would escape in space. And I mean, we think the moon was created by a collision between the Earth and another smaller planet.
That's what I thought. 3.5 billion years ago.
When I say we.
Yes, right. But the moon, it plays such an important part in our entire existence. You can't, it was basically a mistake, a coincidence?
Yeah, we're pretty sure it was a planetary collision 4.5 billion years ago.
What is, Bean said he didn't want to give you the same questions that everybody else gave you. What is the thing that drives you crazy that most people just miss? They don't get. There has to be one overarching thing where
we're too dumb to comprehend.
Right, exactly.
Well, I think it's going back to what we just spoke about. It's our potential value and rarity. I mean, it is possible that there's a great physicist, Richard Feynman, who won the Nobel Prize. He was at Caltech, and he said that we are atoms that contemplate atoms. That's what a human being is. Now, it could be that there are very few places, on the average, one per galaxy at any one time, where atoms come together to contemplate atoms. So that means we are extremely valuable. And most people, I think, don't think about that. They think, you know, you hear it said a lot that humans are just a thing that destroys the planet. The planet would be better off without humans.
Right.
Humans are the thing that thinks. We are atoms that think.
Okay, let me just bring up a contradiction. You started by saying we're nothing.
Yep.
Now you're saying we're amazing.
No, I was in the midst of a long answer. I got interrupted halfway through. So that's why. So I was going on to say.
Somebody wants to have it both ways. That's what I'm hearing. We're going to take a break, come back more with our guests. Tell us, for folks who can't stay with us or need to know immediately how they can see you live and in person, what happens Friday, May 24th at 8 at the Ricardo Montalban Theatre in Hollywood? What is this show all about, Professor?
I have this big world tour that starts next week in the UK. And it's posing the questions we're talking about. It's given, what do we know about the size and scale of the universe? It is terrifying, in a sense, but it's also remarkable that we've been able to understand the evolution of the universe from 13.8 billion years to the present day. And what is the meaning of it all? Again, it's Richard Feynman said that once. He said, what is the meaning of it all? Well, I think that science at least is necessary to start to answer that question.
Is this a multimedia show? You'll bring slides or what?
Slides. I've got these huge LED screens, the biggest that I can fit into the theatre.
But do you have slides?
No. I got graphics. You know, Interstellar, the movie Interstellar. Mm-hmm. So the graphics company, DNEG, that did that, worked with me on. So, for example, we've made a black hole. A visual representation of a black
hole
using all
holes.
The code of Interstellar. Black holes are brilliant.
I bet I know what they look like.
They were our knowledge fails, basically.
Yeah.
Are you going to be in President Trump's Space Force?
He hasn't asked.
He hasn't asked. Wow.
I think you'd be a good candidate for it.
I'm waiting for that call. All right. I'm expecting the call.
He is Professor Brian Cox. Many more questions to come right after this on Kevin. Particle physicist Brian Cox is a professor, is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's from the University of Manchester. He has a live show coming to Hollywood at the Ricardo Montalban Theater on Friday, May 24th. Tickets are available right now through profbriancoxlive.com. profbriancoxlive.com. During the songs there, Kevin was going through each of the 950 papers that the professor's written and just tearing them apart. Just saying, you were wrong here.
But
you missed a
right
decimal
here.
Point there. Yeah.
But I did it off the air.
Yeah. You did it off the air, but it was good. It was good that you schooled him, though.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it is a different exercise having him in the studio than a grown man named Monkey who we had in last week.
That's right.
Slightly different.
A couple of quick things for you, Professor. I'm just going to hit a couple things that have come up on this show recently, and I'd like to hear your thoughts. Many of our listeners believe that they see ghosts. Is there any evidence in the scientific world to suggest that there's any kind of remnant left behind from people who die?
No.
That was a quick answer.
I'll give you a 30-second answer why I think that's the case. We're made of particles, right? Electrons and protons and all those things, the subatomic particles, and we know the behavior of them with exquisite precision. Right? That's what we do at places like the Large Hadron Collider. So we look how they behave. So if you think there's some kind of extra thing, a spirit or a ghost or whatever, that then obviously it has to interact with the particles that make up your body. So
right.
It has to, because it carries a picture, it looks like you when you die, presumably. And we have no evidence that there is any stuff that we don't understand in the universe.
Why
that
do you think so many people are convinced with they see ghosts then?
Convinced. Well, I think that the key point is that our perception is flawed. I mean, and we're very bad at understanding coincidences as well. And so we make, if you think about how many observations of the world the average person makes in a day, right? It's that millions and millions of probably of little observations.
I mean, not me, but go ahead.
hundreds of tens.
Dozens.
Of
yeah.
Dozens. Yeah. And, you know, there are many hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people. And so sometimes that picture we have of the world goes wrong. And we're very bad understanding coincidence and understanding when we misunderstand something that happens. I think that's much more likely than that there is some sort of force or some kind of other stuff in the universe that we've yet to discover scientifically.
But you're saying scientifically it doesn't make sense. You're not saying scientifically we can prove that it doesn't exist.
Oh, well, you are. Science... The thing is, you can never prove that something doesn't exist.
Right.
The great philosopher Bertrand Russell, you will know.
Right? Sure, of course.
He said he had an argument about a teapot in orbit around Venus. And so you could say there is a teapot in orbit around Venus. Mm-hmm. And you can go, well, we don't think there is. And you say, well, prove it.
Yeah.
And of course, it'd be very, very, very difficult to go and search all of the space around Venus for a teapot.
Would that tea be very, very hot or very, very cold? Which one is Venus?
Venus is the hottest place in the solar system.
Oh, so it'd be way too hot to drink then.
Yeah. I like where you're going with this, though, B.
No, in orbit, it'd be cold.
could I drink from that teapot?
He's right. It depends on the altitude. It'd be very cold in high orbit around Venus,
okay,
but it was on the surface.
So there's
a perfect temperature. Kind of
there's a perfect temperature that if the teapot is exactly where it should be, where it would be drinkable.
There is a place on Venus, somewhere where it'd be drinkable.
All right, next question. I did ghost. Here's the other one that has come up recently on the Kevin and Bean Show. Millions of people around the world seem to put stock in astrology. That it matters when and where they were born in relation to stars in the heavens. What's that about?
Again, it's nonsense.
Nothing to it. There's no such thing as a Scorpio trait.
I don't really know what to say. It's, I mean, what would be, you know, I mean, you could say, well, what does it matter? How would it influence it? If Jupiter is in a particular position against the stars on the day that you're born, can that possibly have any influence? And again, no is the answer. The gravitational pull. Carl Sagan, one of my great heroes, used to say, the gravitational pull of Jupiter on the baby is less than that of the midwife.
Wow.
I've said that many times.
Now, Ali, you have talked a lot about the moon affecting you, right?
This is really weird, but the moon... At certain phases of the moon, I feel differently. Like when we had the blood wolf moon last week, I had the worst cramping of my life. And I was like, I wonder if it's the moon having any effect on that.
Is it the moon?
No, I don't. No.
But let the man finish.
Professor Bummer.
Well, the thing is that there are... You know, there are a lot of things that influence our moods. And that's why, I mean, the sensible answer to astrology and things like that. You know, we're really complex individuals and we live in a complex society. And it, you know, from month to month and day to day and our moods can be affected by many things. But that's again, it's our perception. I think it's our feeling as human beings.
Okay.
There's no influence.
You can say there's no influence. It's our perception.
How
are women who room together or very close friends, how do their menstrual cycles then sync up if there is not something bigger than us that's pulling and changing things?
I was hoping we'd get to this question.
Yeah.
Let's talk mints.
I'm not an expert on this, but again, we what's the most likely explanation? Is the most likely explanation that that's just the way that people are and the way that they think, and obviously the way that we think and our mental state affects the way our bodies function. We know that, you know, people. And so is it that, or is it some unknown force or phenomena or thing in the universe?
Brian, I'm asking you.
It's more likely to be that humans are just complicated rather than there is something in the universe that we don't all understand. That's a big leap.
All right, I have a question that I'm pretty sure we asked you last time, and that is, you, when you're not giving these speeches, you work at the Large Hadron Collider.
Yeah.
Describe that for us.
It is it's 16 miles in circumference. So it's the biggest experiment ever built, really. And what it does is it collides particles together to recreate the conditions that were present less than a billionth of a second after the universe began. And the reason is that we want to understand what happened in those earliest times.
Sounds very easy to do.
How nature behaved. I mean, it's an amazing thing. It was, you know, it was built, but I think there are 88 countries collaborating now, including the United States. So it's a global effort. It really, the world can only afford and only needs one of those things. Mm-hmm. But if 100 countries come together, then it doesn't cost very much.
So here's my question. That's what it is. When we first heard about it, we read that there's a small chance that it might create a black hole and swallow up Earth. And we called and we were like, what? Tell us, what's the chance of that happening? Because you're going to create a black hole and destroy the Earth.
And they said, nope.
Did Again, they say nope? It yeah. says there's a small chance. Is there a small chance?
No. There are some theories that might allow it to create microscopic black holes, really kind of speculative but possible theories. But what we know about microscopic black holes, we do know that if you made them, they wouldn't do anything. In fact, they'd be very hard to spot.
But what if they all got together and made one big one?
And became a gang.
Well, you haven't got
Yeah, what if they're just snapping like the Jets and the Sharks?
There isn't enough energy to make a big one in there. It's just possible. There have to be weird things. There has to be extra dimensions in the universe.
So you're saying it is possible?
No, to make a microscopic black
hole,
we're
all going to die. It's because of this guy and his science.
But
right?
For the microscopic black hole to have any influence at all, no.
I'll
tell you one reason why we know that, because there are particles called cosmic rays, which are just particles from space that hit the Earth. And they hit the Earth with energies way in excess of anything that we can make at the LHC. So they're raining down on us now.
Somebody is part of the cover-up.
Nature, right? We're unstable, and
somebody
you know, you
is part of big particle.
Collisions could destroy planets and things. Then we wouldn't be here.
Are you in the pocket of big black hole?
I love those conspiracy theories. No, it's great, isn't it? Because on... What possible conspiracy could you build to hide knowledge about black holes?
Tell us, dude.
So no, you tell me, why would it benefit? Who would it benefit?
Listen, as a flat earther, I don't know where to even start here. I'm not sure where to even begin poking holes in your things. But I'll just say, sir, I'm not appreciative of most of what you said.
Tickets are on sale now for way more of this live and in person. It's the Universal Adventures in Space and Time live show with Professor Brian Cox, Friday, May 24th at 8 p.m. at the Ricardo Montalban Theater in Hollywood. Again, the website is profbriancoxlive.com. This sounds like a fascinating evening, by the way. It's always great to have you in, Brian. Thanks so much for the time. Please come see us anytime.
It's great to be. Can you ask me a question that I can answer yes to next? Because I've just said no to everything.
Will the Rams win the Super Bowl?
I have no idea. Yes. No, he said
right.
that.
Yes. Yes. He sent you off, yes. For God's sake. Favorite professor.
I mean, we've sent you to Iceland. We've sent you to Paris. This time.
Not till after 7.
But we have the
half
thing
hour
the...
from now.
But the band.
Half hour from now.
Okay.
7 a.m.
Make that announcement.
It says
up.
Giant red letters, announce at 7 a.m.
You know what? Now that you mention it, I do see that.
What is you guys' move when you get into an Uber?
Nothing. I say nothing. I do nothing.
I bring my wireless headphones and I say,
good call.
I don't mean to be offensive at all, but I'm going to listen to my music. Is that okay? And they're like, sure, of course.
I love interrogating my Uber drivers.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
I love it. How long have you had this model car? Oh, that would be a nightmare.
I always want to know where they're from, how they came to be an Uber driver.
I'm so the opposite of
you. How low is your rating?
You know what? I've never even looked. I don't even know.
How about that?
I'm sure it's a negative.
He's trying to get Uber rides, and they're all just passing him right by.
I'm very pleasant in the Uber, but I'm also very conversational. I'm a curious person, you guys, and I'm interested in somebody who does that kind of work. I always want to know if they've driven any famous people. I always want to there's a bunch of questions you can ask Uber drivers. It's an interesting job.
It is, but at the same time, do you really want to go into a deep dive of why someone is an Uber driver? You're never going to hear an amazing story like, well, my uncle left me $1 billion, right? But I just do this because I like to help people. Like,
it is always I have to do this to make ends meet. That's the answer.
Which is great, make your money, but come on.
I also like knowing whether the person is a native of Louisiana and, you know, where they grew up and what do they like.
This is funny because
I'm much more social with people, and yeah. Pete is much less social with people, unless he's got him one-on-one in an Uber car.
Unless he's
and
got them locked in a confined right? space.
But and you're then more it's social. On. You're more social with friends. I think I might be more social with complete strangers that are trapped.
That's possible. That are trapped is the key word. Right. A 38-year-old Seattle Uber driver has a menu. He shows you a menu, and he says, what kind of Uber experience are you looking for today? Here's the story.
Talk about going the extra mile. One enterprising Uber driver is giving the idea of customer rides a whole new spin. That driver based in Seattle handing out this handy-dandy ride-type menu to customers. So if you'd like the stand-up ride.
Okay, so the stand-up ride is
Dad,
him.
Listen up. You can learn some tips here.
No. Is him doing, I kid you not, comedy.
No.
I kid you not.
Here's what it says under the stand-up ride. I tell you about things that are funny, from prison stories to the other poor life choices I've made. Don't get a lover's name tattooed on you ever.
That's the comedy.
Yeah, gives you a little bit of a clue.
It's his personal story.
We get the feeling he's an aspiring comedian with material to share. But there's also the silent ride. There's the rude ride.
I'd take the silent ride.
What's the rude ride?
Rude ride is he's rude. You're rude back and forth.
Hey, fatty.
Yeah.
I can't drive that fast.
Hey,
you're weighing down my
asshole.
Car.
Now, hold on a second here, Kevin. Let's talk about the silent ride for a second. Isn't that a little bit like just treating him like the help? Like ignoring him and his experiences as a human being?
But I don't know that that guy wants to give his resume out to every single writer. Do you know what they do?
I know that, but I mean, I think there's something unnatural about two people sitting in a closed space pretending that each other doesn't exist.
I think there's something completely wonderful about that.
I do, too.
And wait, aren't you married? That's your married life, just sitting in a closed space pretending each other doesn't exist. We're going to talk to Donna later. She's going to have the same stories.
Okay. All right, there's more choices on the menu as well.
Where he can be as rude as possible. What is the matter with you if you want the rude ride? A recent passenger posted the list to social media. The driver commented with a thanks, and he tells Forbes that Fair selected a therapy ride. So if you're ready for it, the doctor is apparently in.
Therapy ride.
So he's your bartender, basically.
So he'll listen to you complain about stuff.
Okay.
And then be reassuring.
Or maybe you've got an important life choice coming up and you need somebody to weigh in with an objective opinion. I think that's nice as well.
I can see that actually being nice if that's what that person wants to do. Maybe you're getting the Uber from and you're taking the Uber of shame. In the next morning, you're like, this guy didn't call me. You know, like, he tricked me. I get it.
And this Uber driver will go, oh, that's so unfair. You're really treated poorly.
Yeah.
You're better than that. I don't want him to be my therapist. Looking for that.
Well, but then you would get the silent ride.
Yeah, that's true.
But sometimes, Kevin, you're too close to your own situation. You can't see what to do. And an impartial stranger may have good advice.
I've never ever asked an impartial stranger. I always, if I have questions, I always go to friends because they know me.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. I
would never ask a stranger.
Yeah.
Where the hell, since this is Kevin's story, is the police chase option?
Oh, there isn't. Where's that? Oh,
that Speed needs to through be added. Every red light.
That needs to be added so quickly. I mean, I would take that every time.
Seriously, can you imagine how awesome that would be if you just said, all right, I need to get into police chase. Go. Hit it, Steve.
I will pay your fines.
Here's a little bit more of the story.
The driver's seat.
You know, surprisingly, even though I talk a lot, this is the industry that we're in. I like a silent ride.
Yeah, I would go with a silent ride, too.
Just take me to my spot, safe and sound, but I appreciate all you.
I don't want
to.
But if you had a bad day and you want to just go at it with somebody, that might be a good ride to take.
I'm not positive. So here are the choices. The stand-up.
Yeah.
The silent mode.
Yes. Okay.
The therapy ride.
Okay.
The rude ride.
Mm-hmm.
And one that hasn't been mentioned yet that's my favorite. The creepy ride.
Oh.
So what happens is you're in the Uber and you're driving around town, and every mile or so, he'll just glance up at the mirror and look at you. and just sort of stare you down for a second and then go back to driving and then look up in the mirror at you.
See, that's not what I thought the creepy ride would be. The creepy ride would be the one time that I was in the car with Bean and then he rolled down the window and yelled at a woman, "Hello!"
That's very different. Yeah. That's the Bean ride.
I thought that would be the creepy ride.
Oh, no. It's already begun.
What is that?
It's already started.
Oh. I can't. I'm having trouble breathing.
What?
I'm having like a hives or something.
Oh, no. Oh,
we have something else we're going to do. We're going to be looking for you and your phone calls if you have ever hooked up with your partner's parent. Okay? your wife's mom, your husband's father.
Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
Hall of Fame.
We did this one time before, and we were positive we would get no calls. We did.
So we're gonna get into that. So if that's you, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. But first, though, we really do have an emerging health emergency here at K-Rock because as you have noticed, especially if you've been on our Instagram page, the building's practically underwater at this point.
I'm not sure that's accurate, but
that's my understanding. Okay. Is that's all how right. wet the carpet is from the recent rains. And we started looking about what else is going on in Southern California, and over at City Hall, they've had an outbreak of typhus over there because of all the rats as a result of the wet environment there. And the whole thing is just a mess. They're talking about ripping up the carpets in the entire City Hall. So we heard from a listener who said, "Hey, I had typhus last year and it almost killed me."
What?
So we thought we might want to find out what we are all looking at here, because it's clearly in our future. And Aaron was kind enough to agree to jump on with us and just tell us a little bit about it. Aaron, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
You heard I had me typhus.
Now that's the color I was looking for.
Right? Jensen was thinking that Tyson went out of fashion back in the pirate age, but you got it in 2018. How did it happen?
You know what? To tell you the truth, I don't even to this day, I don't know how it happened. And this was even before this whole outbreak came out on the news.
What are the symptoms?
Well, my symptoms were that I was suddenly becoming, like, lightheaded for, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, that feeling when you haven't eaten in a while.
Right.
And you start getting, like, lightheaded and you kind of feel like you might pass out.
Right.
I was getting that, like, day in, day out. And then that was followed up by, like, a couple weeks of a very intense, like, fever. I was waking up drenched in sweat, and when I say drenched in sweat,
good times.
I mean like it felt like basically when I would get out of my bed, it looked like my bed was soaked. Not in that way. Yeah.
Were you near any wet carpet?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
I wasn't actually. Ah. I still, you know, they asked me a lot, like, especially because, like I said, this was before this whole it became news. Like the whole typhus thing, they asked me like, "Oh, have I ever left the country? Have I or anytime recently?" They're asking me like 21 questions because, you know, like Jensen was saying, this is not something you get in 2018.
Right. Typhus has been gone for a long, long time.
Right. Aaron, what about, I mean, my understanding, my limited understanding of typhus is that it is fleas and ticks, and that's how you get it, is from, you know, from rats and stuff like that.
Yeah, and that's why I don't know why I got it. I mean, I have a dog and a cat, but it's never happened
before. It's a cat. It was a cat. Cats suck.
You know, honestly, that was like the number one reason that they were trying to say. And I'm like, no, my cat's been around for a long time. No, but it was kind of embarrassing because before they even knew what it was, they thought it was West Nile. They thought it was like hepatitis C. They thought it was all kinds of other things.
They thought it was diseases that go with modern day.
Right.
Wait, typhus. Wait, you said you almost died. How did you get treated?
Well, I think mine was so severe because I waited so long to go to the ER because of it. Like I said, I was having, I was trying to stick it out, and then it got to a point
so
where
it's going
to
happen.
This was during the time in like September-ish of last year when it was like 103 degrees, but my body felt like it was like 30 degrees outside.
Yeah, I don't want to scare you guys, but I just coughed into a handkerchief and there was just a little bit of red in it, and everyone knows that's the first sign of death.
So
I don't want to scare you guys, but Aaron, I heard that it's transmittable.
How do they treat it? Is it just antibiotics or what?
Yeah, once they found out what it was, they kind of took care of itself. There's a sort of antibiotic that they give you, but before they found out what it was, they were giving me all kinds of other stuff. But when I say I almost died, it's because
within a day of getting like admitted into the hospital, like my respiratory system shut down and I couldn't even breathe.
Holy
anymore.
Crap. Like, gosh. Yeah. We should take calls from people who almost died from diseases that don't exist anymore.
they don't have scurvy or
well, there's plenty of people with measles right now in America.
Mumps. Anyone have the mumps?
Talk to them.
Is the mumps something? Yeah, the mumps.
It used to be something.
Yeah, it used to be something. All right.
It's all coming back around.
Yeah.
Aaron, that's amazing. So who do you think is going to survive on the Kevin and Bean show? You've been listening for a long time. Who's most likely to get past this typhus?
Well, Bean is the healthiest man in the world.
Thank you.
He says.
I don't know.
Okay, I think it's going to be me,
OCD
too.
OCD tendencies will help.
Well, it's only going to be Bean because he's not in the building.
That's true. That is true.
He has a bit of a lead there.
I did forget that.
That's a fair point.
I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Hey, listen, I'm so glad you're okay and so glad you reached out to us. And don't get typhus and put a flea collar on your dog and your cat, all right?
And yourself.
And yourself, yeah.
Okay, that's already been
It's a good
done.
Tip, Dean. Right. Don't get typhus to all a right, guy thanks. Who already had typhus.
Thank you, Aaron. We appreciate it, sir. How about that? Anyone worried now?
Oh, I've been worried the whole time.
It sounds but bad, for real? Guys.
Because it's the kind of thing where I look at it and I go, okay, well, that was a random two
oh,
or
I'm
three
not,
people.
Oh, I don't know if I'm nervous about typhus only, but I'm scared of measles. I'm scared of things I haven't heard about since I was like in sixth grade health.
And they all seem to be coming back.
Yes. And you know, when we talk to Dr. Drew, this is like his wheelhouse.
It is, yeah.
He's going to go crazy on this. Diseases that have went away and he thinks are coming back.
Let's right. talk to people who have diseases that don't exist anymore. Because what a loser. Like, that guy goes in and he's like, what do you mean, typhus? I haven't heard of that in 25 years.
I have a peg leg.
So people who were stunned by the diagnosis of what they had because they didn't think anybody else got it.
Right.
I love it.
Just the idea of being told you have typhus must be so hard to get your head around.
Someone had to have had rickets.
Sure.
My brother had tuberculosis.
Yeah, that what? Works perfectly.
Tuberculosis is one you don't hear about very much anymore.
No. Right, so we need anyone who has had the sicknesses from the 1800s to the mid-1900s.
Yeah, or you think was that. Like, when you got it, you were like, there's no way anyone has this. Like,
I'm putting some money down on polio right now, you guys.
Oh, someone definitely has
Scarlet
polio.
Fever?
Oh, scarlet fever.
That's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067.
If your disease sounds like a Marvel hero,
call now. And for some reason, people are getting diseases that we eradicated 2,500 years ago. I'm not sure why.
It's not funny for them, by the way.
No,
but I mean, nobody wants to get dengue fever, but if you do, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. And I think ahead of the Chili Peppers, I think Kathy's in West Covina. She's on line one.
Hey, Kathy.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, thank you.
What weird disease is in your family?
So my son, when he was 2.5 years old, got a Kawasaki disease.
Wait, before I laugh, is he okay?
Yes, he's okay.
Okay, good.
Kawasaki
I was holding it too.
It doesn't exist.
What
you made
is Kawasaki disease?
Kawasaki?
Yeah, what is
it? What is it? Pretty much, it's really high fever. Your skin breaks out into this weird rash where they think it's scarlet fever. And then their skin starts coming, like, it starts peeling. Your hands start peeling. Your feet start peeling.
Oh, my God.
You get blisters in your tongue. It's, like, completely covers your entire body from head to toe.
I've never even heard of it before. Does it mean he's allergic to motorcycles?
Thank you for the call, Kathy. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. You have a disease no one's heard about in 100
Very
years.
Dark segment.
Hoof and mouth, you guys. Still waiting for hoof and mouth disease.
I'm just saying our carpet's wet.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, you know what that leads to. We're taking calls on weird infectious diseases that no one gets anymore. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Before we go back to your calls, Jensen, we're playing infectious disease bingo. What do you got?
This is going to make Jonas Salk turn in his grave. There's something called walking corpse syndrome.
What?
That still exists.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's real. There's also something called the fish odor syndrome, which is what you think it is.
Oh.
And then the jumping Frenchman of Maine disease.
Wow.
Jumping Frenchman of Maine disease?
That is a neurological disorder that when you hear loud stimuli, you have an ability to either faint or jump immediately.
All right, so 1-800-520-1067 if you have dysentery or something else.
Yeah, if you have something that made you die in Oregon Trail.
We're looking for you.
I told you guys I wanted I wanted a little dengue fever. How about Kevin on line 5, Los Angeles? Let's talk to him. It sounds like he had a little bit of a dengue
fever. Why are you so excited about this being?
I don't know. It just sounds cool.
Kevin, is it cool?
It was not cool.
Okay. All right.
So I was in El Salvador and I came back. My whole family actually got it, but it hit me the hardest. I passed out twice. Hit my head.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. And went to the hospital and they thought it was malaria. West Nile had a horrible rash. And, yep, now I can tell people I had dengue. And
dengue
like, wow.
Fever. That's
Are you fully recovered?
I am fully recovered. My head. I did take a concussion from Salvador's. In the restroom, passed out.
Sounds like you need to shake it off, son. That comes from mosquitoes, though, dengue fever, right?
Mosquitoes or water that's not properly cleaned, so I'm not sure.
All right, dengue fever it is. Well done, Kevin.
Where do we go? Foot and mouth? Where do we want to go?
Let's do some foot and mouth if you got it. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Mitch in Costa Mesa. Good morning.
Hey, I had a hand, foot, and mouth disease.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, so Mitch is calling us from 1928.
Are you on a payphone?
Yeah.
How did you get it?
Yeah. I actually got it from a kid who brought it to a preschool and just decided to pass it around to everybody there.
Sweet.
And I got it in my mouth, too.
Oh. I mean, that is one of the words in the title.
Yeah, in the type. Well, it's different. So, if you get it in the mouth, all the skin in your mouth falls off.
Whole
inside of your mouth is
raw.
I've
heard enough about that.
I didn't eat for 2 weeks. I lost 12 pounds.
Hey, all right. So there's an upside.
I need that. So, right? Mitch, in your experience with hoof and mouth disease, is that what it was? Foot and mouth.
It used to be called because it comes from pigs, but when people get it, it's hand, foot, and mouth disease.
Gotcha.
Hoof, foot, and mouth.
Gotcha. Are we likely to get it because the carpet is wet here at K-Rock?
No, I'm pretty sure you're good.
He's not for sure. He's not
pretty
a doctor.
Sure
he's not a doctor.
He doesn't know, right? You're not a doctor.
We have a text.
I'm not a doctor, no.
No, we have a text from 661 of someone who in their late teens contracted trench mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a great
what
band.
Is that?
Apparently, the name comes from World War II when soldiers would get ulcerative gingivitis in the GD trenches. Oh, God, the trench. Long story, but it was something I'll never forget.
Wow, this is crazy.
Never even had a cavity, but still had trench mouth.
That is Jessica in Westchester, trench mouth.
Yeah.
Don't put that on your match.com, by the way.
No.
Didn't AOC, our girlfriend AOC, Jensen,
yes.
Wasn't she talking about hookworm the other day, like a hookworm outbreak in the South?
Hookworm?
Hookworm she was talking about.
I don't even know that exists.
That's a real thing.
Unbelievable.
That's a real thing.
Right, we're looking for smallpox. We're looking for the plague. Whatever you have.
All right. Let's do Lisa in Whittier. She's on line 4. She's going to bring us some parvo.
Parvo?
Which I thought was only a thing that dogs got.
Yeah.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
You're such a good girl. You're such a good girl.
Oh, here's a little treat.
How'd you get parvo?
We don't know, although I am a teacher. And apparently, a lot of kids carry it, but they don't ever get any symptoms.
Is that right?
It's like chicken pox or measles or something like that, where it's one of those rash diseases that little kids get.
Yeah.
But basically, my legs got a horrible rash all over them, and every joint in my body swelled up.
Mm. Oh, man.
Because I thought all of this was gone.
No, this is just starting.
It's all starting again.
Yeah.
It's a revival.
It's all heading right for us, too, Kevin.
And all of our listeners are the outbreak monkey. Do you know what I mean?
Ground zero?
Yeah.
How do they treat parvo?
They can't. There's no treatment for it. They just give you anti-inflammatories, and you wait for it to go away.
So they just give you treats and rub your belly.
Do you want to know for reals what I just found out by doing some research?
Yes.
You get it from snot.
Snot.
Yeah.
Well, she really? Of course she deals with snot all
yep.
day.
All day.
Oh yeah. Man. Yep.
That's incredible. All right. Thank you very much, Lisa. We appreciate it. All right. We just have too many really good ones here. Do you want a typhus or do you want a Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever?
Oh, we haven't heard that one yet.
Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever.
Or do you want Zika?
No, no, no. Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever. That sounds like a John Denver song. Please
pick
that.
True. All right. Let's try Jen. She's in Hawthorne, line 3.
Hey, Jen.
Jen, Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever. What's that all about?
What is it?
Yeah. So I was pregnant and spiked a really high fever. And went to Cedars. They had no clue what I had. My liver started shutting down. My kidneys started shutting down.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
I couldn't breathe. They had me on oxygen. And they were like, have you traveled anywhere lately? It was like an episode of House. Like, where have you been? I had just been to visit my sisters in Denver.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they were like, okay, well, we think you have Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever or the plague or rickettsia. We're not sure.
Rickettsia?
You're testing negative for all of it. So,
oh, my gosh. Did they ever find out? They did identify it as Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever?
They think that's what it was, but because my blood test tested negative for everything, the head of infectious disease came in and said, well, we think this antibiotic will work, but we're not supposed to give it to pregnant women, but your liver's failing. So what are you going to do?
Holy crap. I hope your child is healthy.
She's great.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Right,
when we found out what the side effects were, they were like, yeah, well, her teeth might be stained or she might be short. And I'm 5'10", and my husband was 6'5", and we're like, we'll take short. Just give me the drug.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad everybody's okay. Thank you so much for calling, Jen. We appreciate it. I want to close with this one text. No further information. This is it from the 562. The skin on my feet fell off. Hey, we got a flaming poop story coming up in the news. We'll have for you next hour here on K-Rock. Also, Sweet James Bergener. The Sweet Beard of Justice is going to be joining us to talk R. Kelly and all the news that has broken on that case in the last... By the way, you get the sense, Allie, that maybe it's finally happening for R. Kelly?
Yeah, they've opened up a criminal investigation
into him in two states.
In Georgia and in Illinois.
How can he not already be in jail for 10 years?
Well, we will discuss
that. A lot of reasons.
All coming up on K-Rock. First, though... Kevin said I wasn't allowed to watch the story, and it was very difficult for me to stay away from it because everybody yesterday was talking about the guy who licked the doorbell for 3 hours.
I mean, you just throw that out there, but let's focus on 3 hours.
Gosh.
Because if you want to be an internet sensation, you know people are posting those Ring videos.
Right. Mm-hmm.
5 minutes.
Tops.
Is super weird. This guy did 3 hours.
And again, I haven't heard the news story. I don't know the details, but the first thing I thought is clearly he tripping, right?
I can't imagine there's no drugs involved.
He has to be.
Because 3 hours of licking is kind of gross, too.
I mean,
never say that again.
Don't say that again, okay.
Why do you think I'm divorced?
Here's the news story.
Well, prepare to be seriously grossed out here. Residents are reeling after a man was caught on camera licking a California family's doorbell.
Oh, boy. That is just weird.
I thought I'd seen it all, but now this takes a cake.
Never have we seen anything like this. Never.
I love the man on the street interviews.
Amazing.
Because they just add nothing.
That's right. They don't know anything. They don't have any insight. They don't have any details.
Look, we saw the guy lick for 3 hours. We all feel the same way. Everyone.
Yeah.
You don't have to put anyone in there.
Early Saturday morning, this man, who police now identify as Roberto Daniel Arroyo, spent about 3 hours licking and milling around this Salinas yard.
The security camera captured the incident.
This is the owner.
And notified the owners.
The homeowners were out of town at the time, but their kids were home. They didn't wake up to the noise, but the family's surveillance system notifies them when there's movement out front.
Now, when I say this is the mom, this is the mom.
I thought, boy, there's a lot of traffic. I go, 5 o'clock in the morning. My son doesn't get home till 6 o'clock. I go, that's kind of odd. So I started reviewing the videos. Who the heck is that?
The Dungans just installed this new security system less than a month ago. And police say it made their job easier.
We were pleasantly surprised that the image was so clear. To the point that it didn't take us long to identify this individual.
The footage also showed the man appearing to relieve himself.
I mean, if you're doing a 3-hour stint on licking a doorbell, you need a break.
Yeah, you do deserve a break,
right?
Wait, so what, I am fascinated. Kind of...
I don't. It doesn't say. It just says relieving. I was hoping the least offensive.
Oh, Allie.
Right?
Chip and I thought the same thing.
Really?
I feel like the word relieving does not.
It only means pee.
I think
then
so,
just
too.
Just say he also urinated. Because relieving yourself as you're tonguing down a doorbell means...
He was tugging down a doorbell?
Now, do you guys think, again, we're all assuming drugs are involved.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you guys think for him at the time of the licking, it was sexual? Do you think that's what was going through
his mind? I can't imagine that it was.
Oh, haven't you seen, well, in movies at least, I've seen like people like making out with trees and like hugging trees and...
Mm-hmm.
So he just seems so. Happens.
He seems so out of it, though.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I mean, it doesn't look like it's a possible boner video. It just doesn't look like that's involved in any way.
Okay.
I'd love to know. You said he was arrested, right?
Yes.
I'd love to know.
No. They identified him.
Okay.
I think they're still looking for him.
If they find him, I'd love to know what he thought he was doing for
right.
that time. And by the way, for him, did it feel like 5 minutes, too? Is that one of those kind of deals?
True. All right.
Police say he also took an extension cord in the front yard.
That's the only thing that was stolen. An extension cord. So,
wow.
So lick the doorbell, 3 hours, see an extension cord, go, I need that.
Right.
And then walk away. But.
But the neighbors found it the next morning.
So he didn't even take that.
Oh.
He took it to the next door neighbors and dropped it off.
He's not a good thief.
He's got some problems.
The kids were inside the house the entire 3 hours.
Yes,
they
asleep.
Never got up and came out or anything like that.
No, they were asleep because it was 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how the ring thing works. I don't think. Is it a doorbell?
It can be,
it can,
okay,
yeah.
But if you press it as a doorbell,
so he wasn't really doing that.
It's weird.
It's weird.
Yeah.
And the video, I just put it up on my Twitter at the Kevin Ryder with a Y. It's worth watching.
The homeowners did do something, wiping off the doorbell.
Yes.
Very much so. Yes.
Yes, man, did we wipe that off? All right, I have two more quick reports. They're from different newscasts, and this I find this one funny.
It seems a man in Salinas doesn't like to ring doorbells. He likes to lick them. Yep, he was caught on several home security cameras putting his tongue where dozens of fingers have gone before.
I don't know that we need that explanation.
Sir.
Way to make it creepier.
I mean... And I could be a part of this next newscast if all you're doing is repeating what your co-host is saying.
He was caught on a security camera. Look.
What?
Licking the doorbell.
Why?
It's nasty. Police say Roberto Arroyo spent about 3 hours.
3 hours?
3 hours licking and milling around their yard.
I could be that guy.
Why? If Omar were still with us, we would have a You Can Lick My Bell jingle right here.
That's true. It's true. R.I.P.